Fred, thanks so much for joining me. Fred Siegel is a senior fellow of the Manhattan Institute Center for State and Local Leadership and a City Journal contributing editor. He is also author of Prince of the City, Giuliani, New York, and the Genius of American Life, and The Future Once Happened Here, New York, D.C., L.A., and the Fate of America's Big Cities. Fred, last night Bill de Blasio won with a 49% vote margin. It's the most sweeping victory in a mayor's race since Ed Koch won by 68 points in 1985, and really one of the largest by a non-incumbent mayoral candidate. He's the first Democrat in the mayor's office since David Dinkins. Is this shift leftward a referendum on an entire era, starting with Giuliani and ending with Bloomberg, or are there other forces at play?
Well, there are two things. One, narrowly political. Bloomberg's decision to run for a third term left many people angry and embittered. Also, Bloomberg never paid a political price for the chaos in the school system. De Blasio did a very good job appealing to those voters, those parents in the school system who were very upset. People forget that Bloomberg barely won in 2009 against a very weak candidate in Bill Thompson. De Blasio's strength was that he was the only one who picked up on the depth of the anti-Bloomberg currents, and he rode them. The other thing that's happened is the city has changed demographically enormously. The white ethnic populations of 1993, when Giuliani won for the first time, are much diminished. Irish, Italian, Catholics, and Jews are a smaller percentage of the city now than they were then. And then it's simply the question of people who've arrived since the debacle of the Dinkins years and had no sense of what Democrats had wrought in the past.
Do you think what happened gives de Blasio what he said was an unmistakable mandate to pursue his liberal agenda?
Well, there is a mandate. I mean, he's right in a certain sense, because it's not just him, it's the city, it's the entire city government. All three citywide elected officials are connected to the Working Families Party, the left-wing group that's tied to the public sector union. City council will be dominated by people in the Progressive Caucus tied to the Working Families Party. There is a kind of mandate for something different. What this will amount to is state-sponsored mobility, you might describe. In other words, guaranteed pay increases for certain categories of work.
What will that agenda look like when it comes to public safety, education, really quality of life?
Now, the important thing is people sometimes talk as if de Blasio is elected, New York becomes Detroit. No, not by a long shot. There's an awful lot of room to be had in New York City. We'll have a slow decline. On policing, his policies, where the de Blasio approach has already received a blow when the federal circuit court overturned the ruling of Judge Scheinlin, who found racial profiling. As the Manhattan Institute's Heather McDonald has pointed out, there is none. So he's going to come into office and with a loss under his belt, essentially. His policies have been repudiated by a federal court. Not fully, but partially repudiated. And then in terms of crime, I don't think there'll be any explosion, but you'll probably see a gradual uptick in crime as police become more passive. The big reform that Giuliani and Bratton instituted in 1994 was that it turned the police from a passive to an active force. That had an enormously positive effect. The police, given the fact they can now be sued individually by disgruntled citizens for supposed racial profiling, are likely to be more hesitant to act. And I think that's what you're going to see over time. I don't think he's going to have very much effect on educational outcomes. What I'm worried about in terms of leave aside the question of charter schools, which you should leave alone, is school discipline. There's a good deal of worry from people inside the school system.
Are you talking about public safety in schools?
Public safety in the schools. That de Blasio's approach may make it difficult to maintain public safety inside the schools. What won't change under de Blasio is the sense of the city being run on a top-bottom basis. De Blasio has no more interest in the middle class than Bloomberg did. He has an interest in the well-to-do as a source of funds to tap, provide benefits to his core constituency on the lower end of the population. But neither of them have much concern for New York's losing its middle-class population. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are going to be surprised to the degree to which there are more similarities than they might expect. In both cases, you'll have a considerable, as you had with Bloomberg, you'll have a considerable crony capitalism. And the outstanding example of crony capitalism in the Bloomberg years, the building of the Barclays Center at Atlantic Yards, That was $1 billion in subsidies from the city and the state combined, and that was supported by both Bloomberg and de Blasio.
This morning you were quoted in the Wall Street Journal about being concerned. De Blasio clearly ran a great political machine during the election season, but what about his governing style?
Well, when he had to run the Hillary Clinton campaign, he did a bad job. He had to be pushed aside, not officially, but he was pushed aside at the end of the campaign because he had trouble making decisions, trouble pushing the campaign where it had to go. We'll see what happens when he gets into office. But that experience and the experience as public advocate doesn't suggest someone with managerial skills that we can count on. The people sometimes say, "Oh, managerial skills don't matter. You can hire people." That's exactly what's at issue right now in Obamacare. The president didn't think about implementation. You can say with certainty is he wasn't on top of the process of implementation, and that's cost him dearly.
Let's talk about those union contracts, if we may. He hasn't been really clear about how he'll deal with labor on this issue. Retroactive pay for years without a contract are going to cost the city as much as $7 billion. New York can't afford it, so what's going to happen?
He won't give them the whole $7 billion. He'll give a part. He'll get a piece of their back pay. You know, de Blasio has a difficult task with the union contracts, but it's not insurmountable in the short run. He has enough. He can play with different accounts in the New York City Treasury to provide small retroactive raises for union members in return for small, symbolic, in some cases, almost imaginary reforms. There'll be a trade-off, a minor reform, very minor reforms for small salary increases. The problem for de Blasio will come over time as the mounting costs of pensions add up and eat into the overall city budget. Again, as with policing, doom is not at the door. But over time, problems will deepen. And the big problem will come if the Federal Reserve, which has been keeping New York afloat, if the Federal Reserve ever ends quantitative easing, pouring massive amounts of money into the New York's, into the money center banks, which in turn end up boosting Wall Street. If Wall Street slides, New York will slide. And again, we're a couple of years away from that problem.
What do you think is going to be the role of media in the coming years versus what happened under Bloomberg?
I think it'll end up being fairly similar. I think the Times will cheer on de Blasio's every move. They have a new champion. They will not be very critical. And it'll be up to the tabloids. It'll be up to the tabloids to keep watch on city government.
Mm-hmm.
And if when these things go wrong, as they may, or I argue they're likely to go wrong, it'll be up to them to sound the alarm.
You have a new book coming out soon. Could you give us a little preview?
Sure. The name of the book is The Revolt Against the Masses. Immodestly tries to rewrite the whole history of American liberalism in 200 pages. It's a short book. I think it's a readable book, but it tries to explain why the New Deal is not at the center of American liberalism.
We look forward to reading it. Fred, thanks so much for your time. This is Kasia Zabava, Project Manager of PublicSectorInc.org. Thanks so much, Fred.
Oh, thanks, Kasia.
Talk to you soon.